hello to all of you soggy or overheated people out there. Welcome once again to the July 20th edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogg, your host. Glad to have you with us today as we're surviving the summer.
Indeed.
We can't say it was a drought. It was darn hot, warm, humid, and this morning's rain has spread out to have sunshine out here at 39th in Maine, as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station. Right here in Kansas City, the summer shows continue. Fringe is going on. I have heard all kinds of feedback on things going on at the Fringe Festival this week, which will continue on in for a while going on. Take your pick. Lots of things going on, but more events other than Fringe events are happening, going on, and we're going to talk about two of the events going on in the area coming up this week. The third annual Kansas City Dance Festival will be happening this Friday, July 24th, and Saturday, July 25th at the Folly Theater, the historic Folly Theater, located at 300 West 12th Street. Very talented dancers and choreographers in town for your listening and viewing enjoyment. And with us, tell us all about it. Two of the guys, they're co-artistic directors. They also found the dance festival. Anthony Kruitzkamp is with us as well. And Logan Pachares. Did I come close?
Yeah, we were great.
Yeah, it was really excellent.
That's usually not the case.
No, usually our last names are murdered together. It's pretty good.
Did you guys found the Kansas City Dance Festival together?
Yes, we did, actually.
Yes. Take credit.
We did, and like you said, this is our third year doing it, and once again, thank you so much for having us on your show. It's always a pleasure to listen to you.
I'm always
to be a part of this, and
I'm always on the lookout for new events, or good events, and things that I can have fun with and inform the audience of.
It's been three very good years. It's been our pleasure to be able to put on these shows and to gather the talent that we've, been able to pull from national and international sources. And I mean, it's been a ride. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of unique dance, a lot of unique personalities and artists coming together and creating an amazing show that's, that we want to present to the public.
I would imagine the hardest part would be getting the people, because everyone has a busy schedule these days. I do. I'm sure you do. And I'm sure your dancers do. So finding a weekend that works, which you have to book probably a year ahead of time.
Well, yes. This year it was a little different. We had to move the show to July, which we're happy about. It gave us more time to rehearse and do different things. But yeah, you're right. Finding the dancers, getting them, making sure they're available at that time, it's a bit of a challenge, because you want the show to be as good as it can be, but you also want the artists to be as good as they can be. You got to make sure all the artists can kind of learn off each other and make sure that they're available, because a lot of good artists are going to be booked. So you have to go and call them as soon as possible.
The last time I talked to you, Which one of you went to Japan? After,
yeah, it was me.
Right
yeah.
after the show. It was yeah. you. So you left Kansas City and flew
away. Exactly. I had my own gig to do, right.
So exactly. You're booked. I'm sure a lot of your performers that you're having are booked as well. So any interesting stories associated with booking anyone?
Oh, no. Just last year we actually had somebody before they came hurt their hip. Uh-huh. So we actually ended up flying in Alex Peters from Pennsylvania Ballet last minute. He saved the day, and now he's coming back this year because we're still just thankful. Yeah. Okay. It was us scrambling around looking for a dancer last minute, and he's just a great guy and good dancer. So we were just happy that we actually could get him in there.
Oh, well, sure. These things happen. Yes, folks, they have injuries just like the sports teams do. And they have to pull people in, and it was great that he could come for you. And now you're featuring him more prominently this year.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the lowdown of who's on. Yourselves, you have numbers in the show, either choreographing or dancing.
Yeah, well, Ryan Nye, who's a dancer at Kansas City Ballet, I'm a big fan of his choreography, and we decided to kind of co-make a piece, which I've never tried before, but it's the Max Richter music called Richter Scales. Ha, ba-dum-tsh. But it's been actually really fun, just kind of working with his style, my style, making it look like it's homogenous, and also just kind of coaching the dancers. It's been great. A learning experience for me, because sometimes maybe I see things he doesn't, but when he says something I didn't see it, a little light goes off in my head. Like, sure. Oh, maybe I should have seen that before. It's actually, it's been pretty nice.
To the music of Max Richter?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
So, and actually this is the first year we're able to pull different artists from around the country to build a piece together with artists from Kansas City. And that's been a part of our, you know, mission from the very beginning, is getting these nationally acclaimed artists to work with our own artists so they can, you know, build off each other and learn from one another. And so this year, that's something new for us, is something that we were able to workshop a piece with these different artists and, you know, have a creation that's, you know, independent to Kansas City Dance Festival. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about it's that.
Independent and unique, and for people, I mean, we have a couple from Miami City Ballet in there with the Kansas City Ballet dancers, and then Richmond Ballet. And it's actually really fun to watch them kind of work, because everybody comes from a different company and different ideas, but yet we all have to work together to learn off each other, and we have to have a product that looks the same.
Sure.
It's been really fun.
And it's wonderful, because these artists are hungry to learn, and they're hungry to work and, you know, be able to perform and to be able to, you know, apply their craft. So it's really amazing being, you know, a dancer but also a co-director, to be able to watch the process unfold on the other side of the room. So it's kind of, you know, fun for me to see, especially when they're your friends. Uh-huh. You know, so it makes a more familial experience between the connection of director and dancer.
Now, if I understand this right, is there a big difference then between what the Richmond group would do and someone from here in Kansas City, what they would do? Well, is it a matter of semantics more than, and style more than?
Yeah, I mean, semantic and style and repertoire can vary too. I mean, let's say you play the guitar and you play the blues a lot, and then somebody else is a country western person, but they have to play together.
Sure.
You know, and it's just different, but they're still good.
Sure.
But it depends on the director and what repertoire they choose. I mean, you kind of go and you become nuanced in the rep that you perform. So having somebody from a different type of rep and then our rep and mashing them together becomes something really cool and honest, really.
And it's very honest. It's, yeah. It's like one of those collaborative elements that, you know, like you said, like country western music or blues or anything like that, they're all derivatives of this. They all come from the same source. And it's just kind of amazing to see that those mashup of styles and techniques and, you know, physique and ability level. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah. Well, not only do they have nationwide appeal with people, but foreign as well. David Bombana.
Oh, here I go again.
That's it. That was good. David Bombana, yes.
The Italian choreographer will be here in town.
Yes. We have Gabriel Davidson and Abigail Shepherd, who used to dance in Estonian National Ballet, now going to Finnish National, flying in to do Artifuge, which is Kunstifuge, the music. And it's a beautiful pas de deux. I was really happy that we could have that. Watching it over and over again, I realized how smooth the choreography is. And it's really great to have that in a rep, because you have to have ebb and flow, really. Otherwise, everything looks the same. And how would the audience like to watch something that's exactly the same? So this very smooth, and it's kind of, it's energetic at the same time. I mean, the music is gorgeous. I mean, it's super, super fantastic.
And that's a part of our artists. They fly in at different times, and he's actually flying in today, so I get to go pick him up from the airport. So it's going to be really nice to see them and bring them back to Kansas City, because they were, you know, veritable rock stars last year with what they performed, and we're really happy to have them back as well.
Yeah. Was it again, national and international styles?
Absolutely.
Yes. From what he would do in Italy or Finland?
There's lots of different varying techniques, but I really do think, like what I was saying before, that the thing that really changes the way a dancer moves is the repertoire that the director chooses, because that's what you rehearse for 6 hours a day. You take class for an hour and a half, you know, but 6 hours a day, you're rehearsing a certain way with a certain look with a certain coach in between four walls, right? And that's really where you become the dancer that you are. But what we do is take them outside of their norm, shove them all into a studio and make it work, which is amazing. I mean, sometimes you need to shake things up. in order to grow
forward. How much rehearsal would they need in this circumstance?
Like well, that? I mean, there's some piece. Go ahead.
Well, you know, in this particular case, they're rehearsing two pieces. One is Consterfuge, and they'll also be presenting a work called Firebird by Marco Goke. And they will actually rehearse it in Europe and then come to Kansas City, and we'll rehearse them this full week. So those pieces are already put together, basically, by themselves when they come and be able when they're able to present it for the festival. So they've been working on it, and I can't wait to see them actually do it in person in the studio and be able to coach them, be able to give them notes and make sure it's stage ready.
Oh, sure. Well, they were working on it, I'm sure, in Finland.
Yes.
People were asking, well, what are you rehearsing now? I said, something we'll be doing in Kansas City. And they would say, yes. Where?
Well, that's the, and that's a part of our, again, that's a part of our mission is we want to be very good stewards of Kansas City. So when these artists from different companies or even over in Europe, when they go back, they can see how special the arts are in Kansas City. And they've been, and Kansas City has been so wonderful to Anthony and I and to many arts organizations.
Absolutely.
So I feel like, honored and privileged to be able to present this in Kansas City because it's also promotional for how we do things here because, we do quite a bit for the arts. The arts community at large does a lot, and I think it's worthy of, spreading the word and showing the world that this is kind of our home and it's unique.
Kansas City is like that. I mean, on the East Coast, not to be too critical, but sometimes they feel, if you didn't go to NYU or if certain places mm-hmm. like that, you're kind of looked down upon. Kansas City is willing to give just about anybody a shot that wants to put their best foot forward.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's the way. Well, let's see who else we can come up with. Douglas Lee, British choreographer and dancer with the Stuttgart Ballet will be in town.
Yeah, well...
this is kind of a fun story. a former dancer with the Kansas City Ballet came to help set this piece called Chimera. And she came in and she was here for 2 weeks working with our artists. This was several weeks ago. So we're kind of doing the festival in two sessions this year with a rehearsal and putting on different pieces. And this piece is just, there's no really other way to put it. It's really cool. Like, it's a Douglas Lee, who's an English choreographer, and he works with Stuttgart Ballet and Netherlands Dance Theater and different companies in Europe. And it's just a really neat piece. It's based off of interesting robotic pop and lock movement. And to this really nice kind of eerie music that kind of reminds you of Area 51. But, that on top of just the amount of physicality that these dancers go through in this 15-minute piece is extraordinary. It's running a mile and a half or maybe even 2 miles in 15 minutes. And it's just nonstop action throughout the whole piece. And it's just a wonder to see what these dancers are able to do with their bodies. I've been a dancer. I'm 35 years old. I've been a professional for a long time. And I could hope to be able to do what these dancers do. And it's just really nice to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Because this pop and lock thing that Logan was talking about, it's essentially isometrics, too. So you can imagine doing isometrics for 15 minutes while also kind of sprinting in between movement. It's a lot. It's both sides of exercise at the same time in one piece. It's a really great piece. And we're happy, actually, to have Douglas Lee because this will only be the third time his work will be presented in America. And we thought, our third year annual-wise, third time in America, we'll just make this work.
All good things come in threes? Is that what they say?
I hope so.
I hope so. Make sure he sees everything the city has to offer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Barbecue.
Barbecue.
I know.
That is my favorite part of moving here.
I'll bet so. Also, you have Jennifer Owen, the artistic director of the Owen Cox Dance Group, very well known now in town. Good for they do a wonderful job of coupling with other artists, other organizations, mm-hmm. and putting a show together like that. But what is Jennifer going to do on her own? I guess Memory Place is
She has a pas de deux that was inside of Memory Palace, and it's called Memoir de Rose, and it's really nice. It's Jen's choreography. It flows really well. Her and Michael Davis dance extremely well together. They look great. I was actually just trying to watch them as long as possible, rehearsing before we ran over here. But as far as like Owen Cox Dance Group and Jennifer Owen are concerned, we're really thankful. They're our fiscal sponsor, actually, for our 501c3. So every step we've taken in the last 3 years, they've really helped us out, you know, because otherwise we actually wouldn't be able to put on a show.
Sure.
So it's been like, and just having them in the festival has been really wonderful, because it's like, it's local, it's homegrown, it's here, it's now, you know, and it's the juxtaposition between that and what's happening internationally is amazing. It's in the same show. So, I mean, we're just very thankful for them.
I'll bet so. Yeah. Yeah, they do a great job, like I said, you know, coupling or mm-hmm. working with other artistic, right. or not necessarily other dancers, sometimes a filmmaker, you know, an artist, different kinds of musicians. They do a wonderful job of doing that. So.
Yeah, and, you know, in the very beginning, I mean, they've been so supportive, you know, of Auntie and I, and I feel... like our relationship with them is just, their relationship with most companies. I think that, you know, they're just wonderful people, and they're always very supportive if we have a question or, you know, just in general getting things done. So
yeah, well, she's worked around the world. I think she has hit on the way that it needs to be done.
That's absolutely.
Certainly true. Penny Saunders, Ghost Light. Oh, that sounds mysterious.
Oh, it's fun. Penny Saunders actually is flying on Wednesday to help stage her piece. It's a really unique piece in itself because it's based around the Ghost Light, the theater Ghost Light, and past personalities that used to grace the stage, and done in an interesting, very interesting contemporary movement style. And she dances with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago. So we're kind of thankful for her to be here for such a short amount of time to be able to stage this piece. It's a great piece. I love doing it. I'm actually dancing the show, and we've been rehearsing that quite a bit. And it's, you know, based off this central figure, this female, or my wife, actually, will be in the role, with this long, flowing dress. And she's the personality of a Days Gone By opera singer. And there's a cast of three men that dance around her and manipulate her to this music that is quite unique. And it's very... The lighting and the stagecraft is very complicated to pull off. So we have the wonderful Trad Burns to help us out with that. And... our lighting designer. So it'll be really unique. I mean, to listen to the music itself is just amazing. It's been what Penny Saunders has been able to construct, and visually it's enchanting.
Oh, yeah.
And haunting in a way. I mean, it's
and how interesting that it's at the Folly Theater.
Yes, right? I know.
Where vaudeville was king in one day, and it is said.
Yes.
The ghostly figure still inhabit that backstage.
Well, I'll be installing that ghost light with one eye over my shoulder, supposedly.
Maybe more performers will be on stage than you want to.
No, well, I hope not.
I have a lot of bravery, and it's not that way.
Speaking with Anthony Kratzkamp and Logan Pachares, they are two of the men who founded the Kansas City Dance Festival, now in its third year, happening at the Folly Theater. Two performances this weekend, Friday, July 24th at 7:30 and Saturday the 25th at 7:30 at the historic Folly Theater, 300 West 12th Street. It was restored, of course, but it still has a lot of the old flavor. And I always tell people to do this when you're walking in the lobby. Look at the old pictures that are up there. You see the Marx Brothers. You see Humphrey Bogart. You see many of the... You see Gypsy Rose Lee, and you see many other performers who were there over the years. And it is rumored that some people claim that they see those figures occasionally back there. And you'll be presenting your show there this weekend. The number to call for more information, 816-474-4444. And information on, and I guess reservations also can be made at kcdancefestival.com.
Yes.
For all of the information for the events of the third annual Kansas City Dance Festival this weekend, going on at the Folly Theater. We're working our way through some of the artists that will be performing there. Ruby Paz de Deluxe, choreographed by anywhere, not even close.
I enjoyed it.
No, it was
really good.
I thought it was amazing.
Choreographed by the very much talked about, even today, George Balanchine.
Yes.
I was watching an episode, I believe it was Seinfeld, a few weeks ago. And in the script of the show, someone threw out the name George Balanchine. So you hear it all the time, not just around here. None of the ballet does Balanchine here in town a lot. But you hear it everywhere. So he's known everywhere. You have one of his numbers that you're going to be performing in your show.
Yes, Ruby's pot de deux. So
well, I see. I went too far off.
No, it's okay. But Alex Peters, the guy that we mentioned before, saved our hineys last year by flying in. He really wanted to perform this, and we said, "Well, if you want to, we owe you, and we think it's great." Also, come on along, pick your partner, let us know who she is, and let's get this show rolling. And that's pretty much how it happened. We had to find the costumes. We ended up getting the costumes from Cincinnati Ballet, flying them in from Pennsylvania Ballet, which is in Philadelphia, and they'll be arriving today. So kind of how we work the show is there's three main pieces, and those main pieces are where the artists from everywhere kind of rehearse with each other. Then in between those three main pieces, we have these pas de deux where people kind of fly in, do them. So that way we can kind of elongate the show, but also you have the part where everybody gets to work together cross-pollinating, and then the part where people just get to perform what they're really great at. Mm-hmm. So we kind of, that way, can make the show a little more interesting for the audience.
Young people need a challenge. The cross-pollinating is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. And, needs to be.
And, you know, we're so lucky to be able to work with the Balanchine Trust and being able to present this selection. And, you know, I think it's something that when we're young, we always look up to these choreographers, these dancers, especially to, you know, Mr. George Balanchine, that, you know, they're such icons to us when we're children that it just, you know, that's what we carry on when, you know, we've grown in our artistry, and we've grown a little bit older, and, you know, this is a part of our love. This is a part of our history that we've done this for, you know, a long time, and it still sticks in our heart, these special little pieces. So we're really happy and lucky to be able to present it.
What is there about his work that everyone finds so fascinating?
It was just different. He was the first guy, you know, that said, hey, let's make dance for dance. And he took away the costumes, and he took away the sets. And he put ladies in just leotards and tights and men and things that were just sleek. And so you had to pay attention to what the people were doing. But he was also known for just his ideas that were radical at the time, really, because people had been doing classical ballet from the imperial school in Russia, where he was from. And then he took that idea and flipped it on his head, and it worked. And I think people were just enthralled with the fact that he could do that, you know, or thinking about, okay, how can we make this step inversely? People had never thought that way before. The whole idea is like ballet is going to be ballet, and ballet is always going to be ballet. And he said, well, no, you know, you can do ballet, but it can look like this.
Well, sure.
And I really think that's where his genius came from. I mean, his ballets are good. The formations that they make are wonderful. The pas de deux are hard. They're very tedious in ways. For the male, you have to use your hands a lot in small, nuanced ways rather than just big, grandiose lifts. So it was a different way of looking at dance, and I think that's why he really took off. I mean, they still do his work in Europe all over the place. I mean, it's just he was just an inventive person that we're just seeing the likes of people like him evolving again today, which is, I mean, it's kind of amazing it actually went that long, really.
Really?
In a lot of his work, I mean, when you watch it, the Kansas City Ballet did this wonderful piece last year. They did his Four Temperaments. And, you know, when you really delve into Balanchine's work, you really see a study of function and form. And that's what's really interesting to the audience, where you don't have to have grandiose, you know, productions of, like, big feathers and costumes, which are a lot of fun. You know, I love being a part of those. But it really is a study of movement. It's a study of physicality, interplay between music and dancer. And, I mean, honestly, being a dancer, like, some of his counting structures for me are very difficult. So even when you're dancing and trying to create these shapes, you know, you still have to be, like, on the music or on the counts. And I think, you know, his work is just timeless. It's just as relevant today as it was, you know, back in the 50s. I mean, it's just an amazing thing to watch.
It would be a Kansas City dance festival without Balanchine.
It would not. It speaks to our, you know, our history.
Let's talk about our final number, Firebird. I've done it to myself again. Pas de deluxe.
Deux.
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 Pas de deluxe. Marco
Gok.
Gok. Okay.
Yes.
That's the last one I have on my list, thank goodness.
Yeah. No, you've been doing wonderful.
I tried my darndest.
Yeah. Well, last year we were able to do a piece of his called Mopey. And it's, again, it's one of those pieces that is very rarely seen in the United States. And, you know, just watching, last year it was performed by Abigail Shepherd, who is an unworldly dancer. It's just, it's an amazing thing to watch her dance. It's just amazing. And so it's a very contemporary piece, but this year they're doing a little bit more of a neoclassical ballet by Marco Gauck. And this is kind of a representation of that, of a carryover from last year, because, you know, it was one of the audience favorites, and it was one of our favorites from last year. So we decided to do it again this year. We're doing a different piece by him, and again, we're lucky to be able to present it.
Yeah, just thinking, Mama, I got goosebumps, so you can see.
I can see
that. Yeah, last year, she took the stage, and, you know, she just wowed me. And the audience, too. People, they said, that, what was that? That was amazing. That stole the show. And how could we turn down having another piece by Marco Gauck after people said that? I mean, really, it was the favorite. And she was a favorite. She became a gem, a star. And she's just the best person, hardest working dancer I've ever seen. Everybody else is dying on the side of the stage. And she said, can I do that again? We're like, no, actually, you can't. You can't get hurt before tomorrow. Go to sleep.
Training is very important.
Absolutely.
Staying in shape, staying at the top of your game. Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be great. The third annual Kansas City Dance Festival going on this weekend at the Folly Theater, Friday the 24th, 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 25th, 7:30 p.m., the Historic Folly Theater, 300 West 12th Street. And if you've never been to the Folly before, take some time to get the feel of the place. It's an old-time vaudeville. That was one of their main stops in this area. And the performers of that era, they all worked there at one time or another. And you can see the pictures around the place and get a little flavor of what it was like then. And you'll see a fascinating dance program as well. The number to call for more information is 816-474-4444 or online at kcdancefestival.com. Those are the places where you go to get your information and perhaps, if you choose, buy your tickets to the Kansas City, the third annual Kansas City Dance Festival this weekend going on at the Historic Folly Theater. I want to thank my guests, the founders of the festival, and they'll both be performing in the show.
You're
choreographing a number.
Yes, exactly.
Could you talk about that as well? Anthony Kretzkamp and Logan Pachares.
Oh, nice. Good.
Yeah, good.
Co-artistic directors and founders of the Kansas City Dance Festival. The third version of it is coming this coming weekend. Look forward to seeing everyone in Kansas City for that. And these new people that are new in town, show them around. Give them the flavor of the city while they're here.
Oh, definitely.
We will. Trust us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
When we return from our break, much more to tell you about, yes, the summer theater musical is going on all summer. We have some more to go, a few weeks more. They're doing Oklahoma out in Blue Springs, and we will talk about that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Supporting 90.1 FM. Bird Productions Physical Theater presents Clowns by the Sea, a magical family-friendly adventure on, around, and under the sea. The Flock, a company of clowns, includes mermaids, synchronized swimming, sharks, and adventure. Maybe even a lovely bunch of coconuts. It's all a part of the Kansas City Fringe Festival, July 17th through the 26th. The Flock has four performances at the Westport Coffee House Theater. Tickets and information at kcfringe.org.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. The Marvel superhero train keeps chugging right along with Ant-Man. Kansas City's favorite son, Paul Rudd, stars as the titular hero who dons a high-tech suit that allows him to shrink to insect size while increasing his strength and agility. He fights to keep bad guys from abusing the technology. It's really a comic heist movie with a strong cast that also includes Kansas City native David Desmalchian. Plot-wise, you've seen it all before, but the impressive visuals and tongue-in-cheek humor prove, in Ant-Man, that good things can come in small packages. The acting superpower of Ian McKellen helps propel the mystery drama Mr. Holmes. McKellen plays the aging detective Sherlock Holmes, who, in 1947, is suffering from bouts of dementia. He has to solve one last personal mystery before he loses his faculties. While this handsome period drama lacks the symmetry of the sharp whodunits, McKellen's performance transforms Mr. Holmes into a touching character study. If you're offended by comic Amy Schumer's off-color brand of sexually uninhibited humor, then Trainwreck is one ride to avoid. Those with a greater tolerance for crudity may find it a scream. This R-rated romantic comedy about a promiscuous woman's love life is extremely edgy, but it's also smart, funny, and surprisingly touching. And LeBron James is a revelation. Give that man his own movie. Jennifer Lopez and Viola Davis add some gravitas to the by-the-numbers revenge thriller Lila and Eve, which is actually a big-screen Lifetime movie. The plot takes some turns that are downright ridiculous, sapping it of all credibility, but Davis's strong performance makes it all watchable. Also opening this week, Gael García Bernal stars in an Argentinian western called Ardor, and Testament of Youth is a romantic drama based on Vera Brittain's World War I melodrama. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
I will never outlive the century. The English people would not stand for it.
A picture of Oscar Wilde on From the Vault, Wednesday morning at 5.
Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders were recently in Kansas City at the La Raza Convention giving keynote speeches. We will have those speeches in their entirety on this Wednesday's forum right here on KKFI, 6 p.m. every Wednesday night.
Support for KKFI provided by the 2015 KC Fringe Festival production Voyage to Voyager, where live actors, animation, and outer space collide in a comedic, informative, and unconventional theatrical event that asks the question, what does it mean to be human? Six performances, July 17th through July 25th at Union Station Gottlieb Planetarium. Details at kcfringe.org.
Thank you, Mr. Kloss. Very instrumental in all that's going on around here at KKFI. Oh, KKFI covers the arts like you wouldn't believe. I've had several of the Fringe performers on. So has Maria Vasquez Boyd on her show Wednesday, you know, Art Speak Radio. She has had some on as well. And periodically, some of the disc jockeys have had some of the Fringe performers on as well. So KKFI covers the arts. Art Speak Radio is next on this Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon. So tune in here, Maria, and learn more about what's going on out here in the arts community. Much more diverse in Kansas City than you ever would have dreamed it was. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. As I said earlier, the summer musicals are coming at us from all over the place. I can't tell you all the ones that are going on that I've talked to. We've had Oliver. We've had everything going on. But one of the ones that you used to see all the time, and I don't see this much as I used to, is Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And with us, they're doing it in Blue Springs. And they've had one weekend of performances, but you have four more performances, four more chances left to see Oklahoma at the Blue Springs City Theater in Blue Springs. And with us to tell us all about, four members of the cast and two other members of the cast is with us as well. Becca Stabenow, who plays the... Did I get that right?
Stabenow.
This has not been a good day for me.
It's okay.
Rebecca Stabenow, who plays Ado Annie Carnes.
Ado Annie.
I'm just gonna give up. Kurt Knapp is with us as well. He plays the role of
Will Parker.
Well, I got that one. Anna O'Rennick, who plays the role of Laurie, is with us as well. And Diana Leonard, who plays the role of Aunt Ellard in the well-known, much-loved over the years productions of Oklahoma, which I originally saw many, many years ago at Starlight Theater. Mm-hmm. The audience seem to love it every year.
They do, yes.
They do. Well, why did Blue Springs pick that one to do?
Well, I think Julie McDaniel, who is our fabulous director, this is one of her absolute favorite musicals, and she directed Annie for Blue Springs last summer, and they asked her if she'd come back, and she said, I will if you let me do Oklahoma. So I think this was probably kind of her baby for us, and she's put together a great cast and a great show, and we're really having a good time, and so far it's been very well received.
And the costumes are usually just fabulous for Oklahoma.
Lots of fun.
Yeah. lots of nefarious goings on by some of the characters in Oklahoma.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe we should, for those who don't know, probably not many, but there may be some, a brief rundown on the plot of Oklahoma. In what era are we talking about there, Kurt?
Oh, we're right at the turn of 1907, right before Oklahoma becomes a state. And it's a tumultuous time of the American West when you've got farmers and cowmen all battling for the land. Mm-hmm. And we have a romance that blossoms between a farmer's daughter and a cowman.
Yeah, the land was was very important to their welfare, mm-hmm. their prosperity, exactly. as it were. So they were very protective of what mm-hmm. was going on those lands and how they could protect it. What role does Will Parker, how does he fit into this?
Will's kind of, he's kind of the comic relief of the show, I would say.
Somebody has to do it. That's why I'm here.
That would be my role, and it's a great role. He's a kind of a simple-minded cowboy, but... He's all for Ado Annie. He'll give his whole heart and soul for everything he has for her. And the two of them have a lot of fun in the show, and we cause a lot of laughter too.
Yeah. Okay, that's important to do that. Yes. You know, yes. It's important to have that. How does she fit into the show otherwise?
Ado Annie has some issues with boundaries. Ah. Her big number is I can't say no, and that tells you a lot about it right there. So she has kind of discovered boys, and she's interested in lots of different boys, and actually has kind of a relationship going with a peddler man who's going through town. Gets hooked up with him for a while, but Will Parker manages to steal her back.
Well, you don't want to give away too much now.
It's pretty fun. There's a lot of... laughter. Julie kept telling us that she wanted us to be dumb as a bag of rocks.
Okay.
So Ado Annie and Will Parker are not the sharpest tacks in the box. We're kind of slow about things, but it does. It's a lot of comic relief, and we are having the greatest time with it.
You mentioned one of your numbers. Both of you know. What are some of the numbers you have in the show?
Well, her big number is Can't Say No. My big number, of course, is Kansas City, mm-hmm. which is a well-known song, and that's my big number in Act 1. And then the two of us have a fabulous duet in Act 2 that's All or Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got when the Stones were in town and they sang that song, they got a big ovation. Do you get a similar reaction from the shows you've done so far?
We actually have had, especially Kansas City. It's a huge dance number as well as being sung, and it's been getting quite a bit of applause because mm-hmm. it's very well choreographed, and it's a great dance number. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, choreographing is important. Who's your choreographer for the show?
We had, I think, five different choreographers.
Wow.
There's so many different styles to the dancing. So Jamie Patterson did Kansas City and
Farmer and the Cowman,
which opens the second act. That's this big box social party that we are having. And so everybody comes together and they're dancing. And there's some ruckus that gets thrown up there a little bit while we're doing that show or that song. And then we had Christine Loftus, who came and choreographed the ballet for us. Ray Ettinger did Oklahoma, which, of course,
Ray's
everybody
very
knows.
Good.
Ray's
yeah.
excellent. Mm-hmm. And then Heather Foose did Many a New Day and
All or Nothing.
And then Anna here also helped out with some of, fine-tuning some of that as well. Heather was doing another show at the same time, so couldn't be there every night. So it's been interesting to work with all the different styles of choreographers, but it's really come together nicely. Mm-hmm. with the whole show. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of shows going on, and I have noticed also some of the same people are crossing mm-hmm. to do different musicals. Anna Renick plays the role of Laurie in the show. You have numbers. You have
yes.
musical numbers
yes.
in the show,
yes.
don't you? You have a few.
Yeah, just a couple.
Okay, tell us about them.
I sing Many a New Day and Out of My Dreams, and then with Curly, of course, the famous duet, people will say we're in love. So that's...
Are they?
Yeah, in the end, they're in love. Laurie's pretty headstrong.
They kind of fight it at first. It
yeah.
takes them a while to admit to each other that.
Yeah, how does she fit into the plot? Do odd things happen to her?
A little bit. I mean, she lives with Ann Eller, and she is very headstrong and everything. And so she really does like Curly, but she doesn't want to admit that she likes Curly because that's just who she is. And then in the end, he ends up winning her heart. And that's pretty much what she does.
That's pretty much what she does. No, I would think the tough job would be Aunt Eller, played by Diana Leonard.
Oh, it's easy.
How do you keep all these people tied together?
You know, I just don't do a very good job of it. Aunt Eller is the matriarch of the show, and she's well respected by most in the show. And I wouldn't say that I have a handle on everybody, though. This one particularly, she is headstrong.
What kind of headstrong things? Don't give away too much. But headstrong things that does she do that befuddle Aunt Eller?
You know what
Aunt
I
Eller?
Think it is about. Lori is that she's just coming of age and beginning to understand the relationship between men and women, and she's drawn to Curly because he's quite handsome and debonair, and then again he's a cowboy and we're farmers, but it's an approach avoidance kind of relationship. I want you, I don't want you, I want you, you make me so mad. And I just stand back. Aunt Eller just stands back and shakes her head and watches.
See, that is pretty much life right there. You have been given life in a synopsis right there. That is the way it is.
Yes.
Yep, that's it.
Do you have numbers as well? I think you do.
No, this is a show that I'm not really singing any nice solos in. I do have a little part in The Farmer and the Cowman where I have to get everybody's attention and then I give them a life lesson. Mm-hmm. I don't say I'm no better than anybody else,
Sure.
But I'll be danged if I ain't just as good. That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see by the shirt you're wearing, you're with the Midlife Players.
Yes, I've done cats with the Midlife Players.
Yeah. Can you explain to me what a Jellicoe cat is? I always like to ask that.
No, I've slept since then, and I can't remember.
We talk about all these different breeds of cats, and then this
a
big number on Jellicoe cats.
Jellicoe cats. There
is no Jellicoe cat.
No. Well, Jellicoe cats are just a breed of cats that have their own society and their own life, and Cats the Musical is an introduction to each of those cats. It was really quite entertaining.
Well, not to diverge too much, but tell me more about the Midlife Players. How often do they do shows?
Well, I can feel that one because I was one of the founding members.
Are you midlife? You're too young to be midlife.
I am actually.
All three of us have been in productions there. Yeah.
But it's a group that's for 35 and olders. We do concert style script and hand musicals. Usually two of them a year. We actually have auditions coming up August 23rd and 24th for the Drowsy Chaperone, and you can check midlifeplayers.com for more information about that. But all of us have been involved in the shows with Midlife Players. I'm currently the vice president of the group now.
Cool.
And it's a lot of fun. And it's a nice group that offers an alternative to people that have kids that they're, you know, having to shuttle around and can't devote 8 weeks of every night of the week to rehearsals. We only rehearse twice a week. And it's not as big of a time commitment. And also people that haven't ever done a show since high school and want to maybe dabble in again. We, you know, accept all talent levels and we have a lot of fun.
It does sound like a good way to step back into things if you've had to step out for family reasons.
Exactly.
Before. Yeah. Well, the Blue Springs people are thinking, well, why is he asking them about that? We're talking with members of the cast of the Blue Springs Theater production of the musical Oklahoma. And it happens, there are four more performances of Oklahoma. Check me if I've got this right. Friday the 24th at 7:30 p.m., two performances on Saturday. That's the 25th, one at 2 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon, and then again on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., and then it closes with a Sunday afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sunday the 26th at the Blue Springs City Theater, located in on the Blue Springs. It's Blue Springs North.
It's just Blue Springs High School.
Blue Springs High School campus, and so you're actually right there.
Yes.
Now, as I recall, that's the stage where you can do it from either side, from the cafeteria side.
Exactly,
they call it the Civic Center. The address is 2000 Northwest Ashton in Blue Springs. So,
yeah. Have you ever done a show for the other side?
No. We use the cafeteria as our dressing room and makeup area, so that's where we all have to throw all our stuff. So.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And the show will be happening this weekend. What have the reactions been like so far?
very enthusiastic. You know, lots of people have just raved about, you know, just the overall production, about how much energy there is on stage. And I had several people ask me, how do you keep up with all those young kids? But there is. There's just a lot of enthusiasm for it. I think, in general, people just love Oklahoma. It's one of those musicals that is timeless, you know, that everybody... Most people have heard it before, heard at least some of the numbers from it. And so it's always, and there's just a lot of toe tapping, and there's laughter and fun and, you know, love and romance and cowboys and farmers and fist fights and, you know.
And a little drama.
Just a little, yeah. I mean, I get to kiss different boys and have a cat fight, so how could it get any better than that?
It can't get any better than that.
And we also have a fantastic orchestra.
We do, yes.
Tell me about your musical director.
Larry Selby has been fantastic, bringing in all kinds of professional musicians for the show.
So 22 pieces.
22 pieces. It's probably fun for them to play these songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we have a fabulous accompanist, Dan Lappin, who has been with us every rehearsal day one, and he's been absolutely amazing. And then he and I kind of worked together, as you know, when we were learning songs, and Julie kind of pitched in. So it was kind of a group effort. Which I think kind of makes a difference too. When you get when everybody's kind of involved in the effort together, it gets you that much better, that much closer to the top. You know, it's just been a really good experience.
Oh, sure. That when people think of Oklahoma, they think of outdoor picnics and sweet corn and that sort of thing. But it's inside.
It is,
because it's been pretty swell too. Yes. It'd be hard to do an outside show, although several theater groups have had outside shows.
Yes, they are.
We'll be continuing.
Yes, we do have air conditioning. So,
well, we talked about the four main members of the cast are here, but there's two that are here as well. Why don't you bring them up and we'll let them introduce themselves. Kids. Oh, now the young man has an awful look on his face. It's not going to be that bad.
These are two of my grandchildren, Faith and Taylor Bowen. Faith is one of the cast members. She actually has a role there that she appearances.
Who do you play, Faith?
Just adorable kids, that's all.
Just adorable kids. Well, you're kind of typecasting, I would say.
Yes.
What kinds of things do you do in the show?
Like dancing and singing.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Dancing and singing is very important for a musical.
And a cartwheel.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you do a cartwheel on stage?
Yeah.
Many famous people have started by doing cartwheels on stage. What about you, young man?
Now, my grandson Taylor is a member of the stage crew.
Oh, okay.
He's very important. He's a runner. What else do you do, Taylor?
Well, I do curtains. Like, I move them at the right time. I help take stuff off stage and put it on stage.
That's very important.
And he's a seasoned crew member. He's done another show for us, too, so.
What other show did you work?
I did Annie.
Are you just itching to get on stage, though?
No.
No? How unusual. Usually people start in props and sometimes... Oh, I've had people come on here and say, well, I worked backstage. I thought that would be safe. You know, nobody would see me, all that. But before long, they're going, you know, I could do that. I could get out there. You don't feel that way?
No.
Not yet?
Nope.
I predict you will. You'll want to get out there before long. Now, young lady, have you been involved with shows before this one?
Yeah, I've been in Annie, too.
Annie? Yeah. Well, there's a lot of orphans in that.
Yeah.
It's a hard luck life. It really is. It really is. Well, anything you want to tell us about anything unusual that's going on in the rehearsal process?
It's a sweaty process.
I'll bet it
is.
Way.
Oh. There are actually drops of sweat on the stage when we come off after our dance numbers. That's how hard we're working. But everybody, I think probably the most, the comment I've heard the most from the audiences is, you guys look like you are having so much fun up there. And I have to say, at least for me, I think this part is probably the most fun I've ever had in a play before. But I think overall, everybody, we are having so much fun, and that translates to the audience. So, you know, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, I mean, it's $10 a ticket, so it's price less than a price of a movie. And you get live theater and lots of fun and laughter. And
plus a meet and greet after the show.
Yes.
All of us go out into the lobby and
in full costume
receive our accolades.
So,
definitely worth coming out to see it. It's just a lot of fun for all of us.
Do people tell you things like, when I saw this show back in 1973.
Oh, yeah. Or when I was in the show. Oh, really? I've heard a few people say, I was 80 Annie once, too. You know, so that's kind of, that makes you, I'm glad I don't hear that till after. Because if you hear that, you're like, oh, am I doing it right? Or did I do it justice? So,
yeah, I remember one time after doing Annie, I was out in the lobby and this lady came up to me and she says, "You were so good. You were so funny." Not Carol Burnett.
Oh, right.
Well, lady, I wasn't trying to be Carol Burnett.
Well, she probably meant Shirley Jones. you have to jump in there.
No, that was Annie. That was Annie.
Oh, okay. Well, then it was Carol Burnett.
No, I think if you compared me to that movie, I think Charlotte Greenwood and I are quite similar in the way we play the role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love doing community theater because there's something for all ages. My grandchildren are in the show, and I'm in the show, and my husband is in the show, and gosh.
And her husband, Ed, made absolutely fabulous, beautiful sets for us.
He's
incredible. Our theater is very small, and there's not a lot of room for storing set pieces, and so we had to be very careful about what we could build and what we could do with it, and he just did an amazing job. It's absolutely beautiful. And that's another joy of community theaters. Everybody has to come in and put in their time and work together to build those sets and paint everything. Mm-hmm. And so we all have kind of a little bit of, you know, like I painted the haystack, you know, so I can go out there and say, there's my haystack. but everybody has a little bit of ownership that way. And it's a neat way to do it. Instead of having people that are hired specifically to do that, it's all part of what we do in putting the show together.
Does Blue Springs have a good volunteer base?
I think so. Yes, we have board members that have come out and helped. They've, you know, been there at rehearsals with us. They've helped with the ticket sales. We do have a raffle going that we're raising money to maybe pay the orchestra members a little bit. So a lot of people have donated items for the raffle, and they are out there, you know, every night working the booth and all that kind of thing for us. So they've really been very helpful.
Yeah. Speaking with the cast and a crew person of the musical Oklahoma, it's had one big weekend. It has another big weekend at the Blue Springs Theater and in Blue Springs High School, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. So let's see if we can help the folks. If I get off I-70 at Woods Chapel Road and I continue on east, what's the name of that street I need to get on?
If you take the outer road, then you're going to turn on to 22nd Street to get across to Ashton.
And do I make a right at Ashton Drive?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the school is right there in front of you as you're
at Ashton Drive, you just go straight across Ashton Drive into the parking lot of the school.
Okay. Okay. Is this same information on the website?
It certainly is. It's bluespringcitytheater.com. Org.
.org. I thought it was .com.
I think
also.
It's .com.
Try either one.
Google Blue Spring City Theater and it'll come up.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Yes, you can Google it and they'll give you the direct link for that. 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive, Blue Springs. The number to call for more information is 816-228-0137 or bluespringcitytheater.com. I believe that's what I got when I Googled it the other night. To see Oklahoma running four more big performances. I already asked you what some of the reaction was for your first big weekend. You know, they're used to seeing the movie and other productions. Do they get just as drawn in?
You know, they do. And there was a gentleman in the lobby the other night who was loudly expounding about having been to Starlight and to the Lyric and to some of the other equity houses in town. And he said, "You people are right up there with them. This was a fine performance." Yes. And a noted director in our community theater group saw the show on opening night, and he said, "I've never seen a better performance on a community theater stage. It was excellent use of the space, beautifully cast. The sets were fantastic." He just couldn't say enough kind things about it. So we're feeling pretty darn good about Oklahoma.
You're selling yourself pretty well.
We're trying.
Oh, not just me. I don't think Ann Eller really is the big person in the cast that people think she is, because I'm just sort of on the periphery. I have a few things to do, but really, these people are the stars. They're awesome. Anna and Cass as Curly and Lori are just breathtaking. They really are. They're quite, everybody is quite believable in their roles in this show.
You said she was breathtaking. I glanced over at her and she started giggling.
Yep, yep. So
what does that mean?
Nothing.
Okay, we'll let it go with that. Oklahoma, Blue Springs City Theater, four more performances, Friday the 24th at 7:30, Saturday the 25th at 2 o'clock, Saturday the 25th also at 7:30. So they're going to double up. They're going to have a double hitter that day of theater in Blue Springs.
And if we live.
And Sunday the 26th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs City Theater. Theater located at Blue Springs High School, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. Number to call 816-228-0137 or online at bluespringscitytheater.com. I want to thank you all so much for being here. Becky Stabenow, Kurt Knupp, Anna Orenick, Diana Leonard, and the
Faith
young kids
and Taylor
as well.
Bowen.
Faith and Taylor Bowen as well. Thank you so much for being here. And the timeless musical, as I believe the New York Times said, right. Oklahoma running this this weekend in Blue Springs, Missouri. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider is back from his long journeys, and he will be here to present some jazz for you. Finest jazz. Kansas City is known for its jazz and blues, and he's one of the better jazz musicians and disc jockeys in town. So the blues from, or the the jazz from 1 to 3, the blues then from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you.